Hey everyone, welcome back to Scars Left Behind, episode 33. Today's episode we will be discussing the pandemic, vaccinations from two men's perspective. This is a disclaimer. We don't mean any disrespect, we don't mean to offend anyone in this discussion. We are just two men sharing our perspective and how we have seen what has been happening.
Welcome back, my name is Ben. And today I'm here with my good friend Aidan Lally. And we're going to be discussing the pandemic. I've got to hold it because otherwise it will turn off. Then we'll be discussing the pandemic and obviously the vaccinations. And this is going to be our perspective on what we've seen and how we think things have gone. So, since the pandemic has hit, and I'm going to speak from my perspective, a lot of things have been put in place, a lot of things have come to the fore, or to light, so to speak. And we've seen a massive increase in, obviously, COVID-19 cases, and a massive surge. And all of the adulation and the respect goes out to the NHS staff and everyone within the field. But as we've seen, the NHS is clearly struggling. And, you know, it just, the whole thing has just become a massive problem. And I'll be honest, I don't really see a way out of this unless everyone books up their ideas and starts taking things seriously, especially those anti-vaxxers and non-mask wearing people. You know, it's fine if you want to believe in your own little world, that's fine, everyone does it, but to deny reality, to deny actually happening, a disgrace. And you know, just think of the doctors at the forefront. You know, they're not doing this for, you know, their own benefit. They're doing it because they want to save lives. That's why they've taken like 5-10 years to study what they know. And for people to, in certain groups, not all people, but some, to say, oh, COVID-19 is fake. For me, I'm thinking, just shut the fuck up. Like, people are trying. We're not all perfect, but we're trying. And I just get fed up with certain people. I really do. Like I've said to you, like, I know we've kind of disagreed on this, but at this point, I feel if a certain person or group feels that COVID-19 isn't real, fine, that's fine. You go about your daily business. But if you end up getting it, then that's your fault. And I truly believe that if you get it, you shouldn't mind. Because by your attitude, you're putting people at risk because you don't know if you've got it yourself. This is what I don't understand. Because you had Donald Trump when he was in office. What the fuck COVID-19 exists? You know, I want. Like, he's a man, but he's talking about it. And I'm like, these people listen to these expert denials. Dr. Fauci was getting death threats. He was getting death threats sent to his family, sent to his home. All because Donald Trump spouted fake news. He didn't know what he was talking about. And all of this culminated into a worldwide panic because, and also, let's keep in mind that he also LGBT. So, as for people who say he did a great job, truly believe that, but that didn't exactly help everyone's situation. And we also have, or did have, the CDC thinking, no, the only fake news is you. Right? But that was good.
About Donald Trump
being the fake news and the whole COVID-19 aspect.
Well, I think when you listen to the facts and you dive more into them, this is the thing about politics, you know. You can believe somebody so much, and then all of a sudden you will stand by that person no matter what they say, which is quite dangerous if you think about it, because you know, that's the thing about Donald Trump, who's right wing or far right. He said a lot of things when he was in office. Thankfully, he's not in office anymore.
Yeah,
thank God for that. But you know, when he was in office, there was a lot of confusion because, you know, he could say a lot of things on Twitter, but you would say things, and then all of a sudden, those things that he said, the people that worked for him didn't even know about that thing that he said. So they had to change things to go by what he said on Twitter. They spoke about that on the news once, how he was so erratic and so unpredictable in his behaviour online that his workers, the people who worked in the White House, had to be careful, because he could switch any moment, and because it was so predictable, they had to try and keep up with him. But that wasn't always possible.
No.
Like the people that the White House, the spokesperson, the woman that normally went up to speak to the press, forgot her name now. But anyway, she had it hard because when she was talking, Donald Trump would sometimes update his Twitter account.
Yeah.
And then she was in a lot of bother as well a lot of the times. But she stood by Donald Trump anyway through and through. Most of them did. A lot of them got fired because, you know, you only have to say one thing, and then all of a sudden, they were sacked. So, you know, with Donald Trump, when he was talking about how it could be a fake, how it couldn't be real, when he did get it, and then he spoke about, oh yeah, you know, I'm fine now, don't worry, it's nothing to worry about, we'll be fine, you know, it's nothing major, I'm still here. But the reason why you're still there, mate, is because you had, right, you had the best medical care had to offer because she was the president. Because she was the president, you had the best that medicine had to offer, right?
Exactly.
So you cannot say that you'll be fine, because this, we all know we're in the working class, right?
Yep.
And we're not going to be looked at as much as the upper class or middle class. We're not going to be.
And it has to be realistic.
Yeah, we have to be realistic. Yeah. So there's more working class than there is middle and upper class. So Donald Trump is part of the elite.
Yeah.
He's one of the richest men in the planet, right? And he's a former president. So,
well, he can't be the smartest businessman because he's in debt.
Yeah, but he's still one of the richest men in the world. There's no doubt about it.
His net worth
is a lot. So, and his businesses and everything else, you know. Come on, he's a former president. He now has the luxury of attending assemblies to talk in front of a crowd, and you get paid millions for it. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
You know, David Cameron does it because he's a former prime minister. President Obama, he does it. He gets paid a lot of money. The presidents and the prime ministers and everybody else who's been in government, that is now not in government anymore, that have retired or left office or whatever, they only have to attend a seminar, and they will get paid a lot for it.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing, back to what we was talking about, you know, with
Donald Trump.
With Donald Trump and how he was, you know, spouting his nonsense. A lot of people believed it. A lot of people believe it wasn't real, but when he did get it, what did he do? He got his barricade. He got his men, the Secret Service, to do a journey around the hospital.
Yeah,
and loads of people turned up, and he wasn't even wearing a mask. So, so he had it, and the people inside the car were in there with him because he's the president. They had to be in there with him. So he was putting them in danger.
I remember seeing a photograph of that. And have you seen it?
Yeah.
Did you see a look on the other driver's face? Like when he was in the car without no mask. The look on the passenger, on the guy sitting next to him and the driver, they weren't happy.
Of course they wasn't.
And the thing is, like the people who, because obviously the president didn't, he didn't actually stay in the White House, he stayed in another part. But the people who actually run the White House, on behalf of the president, they were all nervous. Because every time he'd come in, they'd be like, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. He didn't even read the briefings. They'd bring in the morning's briefings for him to read. He wouldn't read it. Right? And also in the interim where the Vice President Biden was running, President Donald Trump incited his base. And his base, i.e. his supporters, went after Biden and Kamala Harris in the Biden bus, right, all in cars, all in trucks, and the headline was, they were trying to be like a courier service, like make sure that they get there safely. No, they weren't. They were trying to ram the bus off the road on the motorway. They were trying to stop Biden and Kamala Harris reaching their other state to vote for do the voters. And he incited his base to do that. And when he was questioned, he was like, oh no, that wasn't me. So that's why there's a lot of this. Like, when people say, oh, everything's fake news, no, it's only fake news because he said it. And because, unfortunately, right, some of his base aren't the brightest, which isn't their fault, I'm not saying it is, right, but they're in the middle of nowhere, right, they don't really know what's happening, they just hear whatever is being said.
What, Donald Trump's base?
Yeah, and they believe it, right, and unfortunately, that's what happened.
You mean base as his supporters?
But yeah, base as his supporters, yeah. The ones that are never really, that really never have a voice. You know? And listen, I'm not sitting here sticking up for the media, because the media isn't all hunky-dory. They get things wrong as well.
Of course
they do. Right, but I feel sorry for the media sometimes, because they have to do a job. And it's people like Donald Trump who can massively confuse people. But, and best of all, you don't have to look at his Twitter. You only have to look at his Twitter, and it tells what's going on. And Twitter has had to massively check to verify. And Twitter verified it by saying fake news. This is fake. Yeah, I mean, I know that he's been banned, but it's not going to stop him from spouting more rubbish.
Yeah, it's something mentally not right with Donald Trump.
Well, no, it's a narcissist. It's got narcissistic tendencies.
Yes.
You know, that's not me diagnosing it. He has narcissistic tendencies. And that's worrying as a president.
Yeah, was the president.
Was the president.
Thankfully.
And, you know, I mean, in terms of, you know, Joe Biden, again, you know, there are some issues with Biden. He's not super clean either. He's made mistakes. So I understand that. But this is the one thing I don't understand with voting politicians in or presidents. Irrespective of their past, you know, events, if that's what the people voted for, and they voted for Biden, and Biden clearly won. Even despite Donald Trump saying he's won, which he hasn't. Again, that was fake news. No, Joe Biden got sworn in, and he's now having to deal with the shit that, you know, Owen's face, Trump has left, right? And, you know, he's stuck in a hard place. Because He's either damned if he does or damned if he doesn't. If he doesn't do the things that he set out to do, everybody's stamping.
I, I, I,
So I can understand the predicament he's in, but at the end of the day, right, he has to uphold what he says. And unfortunately, you know, people are cynical.
Cynical, yeah.
Cynical. I don't know why I said cynical, that didn't make sense. Cynical. and obviously, yes, we have the right to change our mind. Of course. But we can't sworn someone in and then five minutes later be pissed off with them. Like, come on, give him a chance. See what he can do. He's not going to be able, everything he said he's going to do, he's not going to be able to do all of it. He won't. Same thing happened with Obama. He had a list of things he said he would do.
Yeah.
He didn't do what doing it. Yeah, he did maybe probably half of it. Right, but we need
so
to...
a lot of those things that he wanted to do, you know, a system of climate change.
Yeah.
Obamacare, which is free medical care. If I'm wrong there, then correct me on that. He had a lot of things on his agenda. He had a lot of things on his list. He didn't accomplish them all.
No,
he didn't. But what he did do is he contributed to the country quite well. I mean, I haven't lived there. I don't live there, and I probably will never live there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I want mine to live there. But you know, who knows? But he, from my perspective, he did okay. From my perspective. A lot of people say that Donald Trump did well for the economy, but he didn't do well for the mental health of the country.
No, and he didn't do enough for the black people either. Not only did he alienate African American people, he also alienated and targeted LGBTQ people.
You're forgetting about South American people.
And South American people, Latinx, you know, Latino people.
You have them who came to the US for a better life.
Yeah.
And the children, I mean, this is what, God, I mean, wow. You had children separated from their parents.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't care what you say. I don't care who says it or what they say at whatever time or day they say it at. I don't care if we're 5, 10 years later down the line. I'm not bothered. That was atrocious. It was grotesque what they did to those children. How can you separate a child in a foreign country
from the parent?
From their parent or parents. I do not understand. I cannot comprehend why they would do that. I mean, he tried to justify it. If you attempt to justify that kind of behaviour, there's something wrong.
Exactly.
So, that's going to damage a child. That would damage a child because it's the camps. You separate, I mean, these were young children.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people stood up for him. A lot of people said, oh, he was making sure that, because he was talking about, you know, drugs could be brought into the country and the cartels and this and that. And these are human beings.
Exactly.
And these are young children. And you are going to be the type of man who has children himself. Bearing in mind, not young children, but he still has children.
Yeah.
Why couldn't he put the two together and go, I will never do that to my kids, so I'm not going to do it to theirs? He didn't think like that, did he?
No.
Because being a parent, you're supposed to relate to other parents. And he didn't even relate because obviously he's the big man, isn't he? He's the rich, big, powerful politician, president guy who's in the leader of the free world.
Yeah.
Quotations. You know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it just shocked me when I saw it on the news. And then you have, when COVID hit, you had him doing even more ridiculous things by saying to people, you know, drink bleach or COVID isn't that bad and I did okay, I'm still here. Like I said before, the reason why you're still here, she had the best that medicine had to offer. Yeah. Because you're the president.
And you had a team of doctors.
And it, yeah, the best medicine had to offer. You know, it's incredible.
Yeah. And the thing is, when you started spouting about the fucking border and building a wall, like, about stopping drugs coming in, like, does he not realise, obviously not, because he's stupid, because obviously he doesn't, like, obviously read.
He would never grow out, he would never be living in that type of world.
Drug cartels, like, they don't bring drugs in, drugs are already in the US. So I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Like, drug cartels, like, there's a massive drug problem in America. So why build a wall? They don't come in, they're already in America.
Yeah, but it's all about keeping... But, he said it because... Right, again, I'm not justifying it.
Yeah, I know.
Right? He said it because he wants to keep the illegals out.
But the illegals have a right
to come
to the country.
America first, that's what he said. Americans first. He wants to protect the American people. That's what he said. And then...
Well, I'm sorry, but America is the land of the free. Am I not right?
Yeah, but if they're not a part of that land of the free, he doesn't see them a susceptible American. He doesn't see them being a true American. And that's the sad, but again, he's out of office now, which I'm glad. I'm glad he's not in office anymore because, you know, he epitomised the way you shouldn't think and how you shouldn't share your own thinking.
Yeah.
Because there's certain things you can say and there's certain things you can't say. Okay, you can be honest. You can be truthful with what you think. But it's how you come across. If you're a public figure, like the President of the United States of America, who's broadcasted around the world, and you have a terrible way of communicating your information and your thought process, then you're going to cause mayhem.
Exactly.
Because people voted for you. And when people vote for you, people believe in you. And when people believe in you, people will do anything they can to help you. So, and he took advantage of that. Sadly, the people that voted, not sadly, the people that voted for him, a lot of them were extreme far rights. And you had people like the Pride Boys, you know, who are a lot of people call them a militia. They're a group of people who believe that America is the best in the world and they have extreme ways of thinking. You have a lot of other extreme groups as well. But the Pride Boys is one of them. And wow. God, they had guns, they had guns and all sorts, and they hijacked Black Lives Matter protests, and you know they shot at Black Lives Matter protesters. They smashed up shops. I mean, a lot of people say that it was Black Lives Matter people that smashed up shops, but was it them really? If it was, that's wrong.
Yeah,
but. Some people say that it was Pride Boys that did it to make the Black Lives Matter movement look bad.
Yeah, because this, in quotation marks, fits Donald Trump's narrative. Oh, do you believe me? I was right. Look what happened. Right, but I remember at the time, like obviously I watched The View, which is like the UK's version of the Loose Women.
Yep.
And they were going off, like, Sonny Hostin, a former attorney and lawyer, was absolutely outraged. She was losing her shit. She's a former prosecutor. And then you had Whoopi Goldberg losing her shit, but trying to keep it PG. and then you had Michael Rappaport,
He was in a film with Eddie Murphy called Metro.
Oh, I remember that.
But, and I watched his Instagram, and he was like, every time he'll go live after Donald Trump would speak, and Michael Rappaport would tell him a new one. And he was like, fuck you dick. He was related to him. And Michael Rappaport, like, you either like him or you hate him, you know? But he was like, because he lives in a mainly black neighbourhood. While he sees the struggles. And he was like, no, that's not
true. Lived or lives?
He lives. Because he has his own podcast as well, Michael Rappaport. And he does his lives and he just goes off on one. Like, he doesn't hold back. Like, there's one live where he was in bed and his wife was next to him and his wife was like, will you calm down to him while he's on the live? And he was like, no. He's a fucking idiot. Right, and all that.
Yeah.
Right, but that's the thing. When someone who is so divisive as Donald Trump,
yeah,
and he's not the only one who has been in society or in a powerful, you know, position, you know. But when you have someone so divisive, you have one half of the nation turned away from him, like they don't believe him. And then you have the other half who do. And even within that section, they're going to be small little micro groups who won't agree with him, but because they're so pressured, they are made to agree. Otherwise, you know, they may feel outcasted, I don't know. But the thing that surprised me is the biggest turnout in voters was young people.
Yeah,
because young people didn't feel like they've been hurt.
No, but the thing is, right, right, the younger generation, yeah, right, and a lot of our generation, they turned up. The younger generation obviously turned up because they wanted him out.
Yeah.
If they didn't get him out, he had another 4 years of that.
Yeah.
God, wow. I tell you what, that would have been a huge deal for them. Huge deal. And not a good deal either.
No.
Because a lot of these people were so concerned about the future of their country. Yeah, okay, he did well economically. He may have been one of the best presidents. But you talk about mental health, and you talk about well-being, and you talk about mindfulness, and people that want to be at peace, and you know, not stressed out. I mean, okay, people are stressed out because people with high pressure jobs and everything, you know, they're going to be stressed out and anxious. But even they don't want to be stressed out and anxious because of a president.
No.
If I was a doctor, which I'm not, nowhere near qualified, I'm not smart enough, but if I was like, I don't know, a principal of a school or a professor or a doctor, you know, high pressure jobs, yeah? And I'm like tired, I'm shattered, I wanna go home. I wanna chill out, I wanna relax, I've had a long, long day, man. I've had a long day, I wanna go home and just rest, restore and chill, right? All of a sudden, boom, I turn the telly on, look who's there in my face, Mr. Trump. Right? Mr. Fart face. Spewing his information, his discombobulated word plays, you know. And I mean, I've watched a lot of his press conference myself. Don't ask me why, but I have. And I'm like, what's he on about? Obviously, he was on about something. I don't live in America. If I was living in America, then I would know what he was on about. But I bet the people in America didn't even know what he was on about themselves.
No.
So if I'm one of those career, if I had that kind of career, and all of a sudden I turn on the news and I hear this, I'd be like, he's the Mount Everest of bullshit.
Yeah, I remember watching, like yourself, I found myself watched a few of these press conferences. Again, don't ask me why,
it's
but
confusing.
I
confusing, it's like a sitcom.
Right, the reason why I watched a few, because of the comedy aspect,
because the amount of people who replied to him. But, you know, he said something so blasphemous once. Like, he was saying, like, he said, I'm bigger than Jesus Christ.
Dear me.
And I'm like, wait a minute. You're the biggest, you're bigger than Jesus Christ. Why? For one, I'm sorry to, you know, make you cry, but Jesus Christ, in my opinion, any Christians out there, I don't mean any disrespect, but in my opinion, Jesus Christ doesn't exist. He's a fragment of imagination, right? His parents didn't even have sex, so how can you have conceived a child if you haven't had sex? But anyway, I digress. To say you're bigger than Jesus Christ, that shows you're a narcissist in him. He thinks he's better than everyone.
Of course.
That's why he ignored other scientists, he ignored Dr. Fauci. Well, I remember one press conference, he was spouting some bullshit, and the actual doctor, a female doctor, like, she just sat there, and her face was like, but she didn't say anything. She just let him say it. And he had an actual scientist there, right there with him, sitting down. Right there, he could have called up, but he didn't. He said, everything's fine. Oh, it's fake. And she just sat there and doing nothing.
What can she do?
Exactly. That's why I feel sorry for these people. Because they're in charge of a man who, let's face it, is a baby. Like a bit like King Jong-un.
Yeah.
Spits his dummy out.
Those two get along quite well.
Right, yeah. Bit too paddy for my liking. So put him in a room together.
Probably he's already, he's probably there now.
Yeah.
Sucking on his nipples.
Yeah. I can just see an image of King Jong-un's face photoshopped on the fat bastard.
I'm going to have a tipple on Trump's nipples.
Milky.
Make me a Trump milkshake.
No, thanks. No, that's a different kind of milkshake.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
No.
Damn right. It's not, better
no.
than you.
No, sorry. I don't want that type of milkshake, thank you very much. But, I mean, in terms of vaccinations, like, I've had the AstraZeneca.
We haven't spoken.
No, that's why I thought of it.
Yeah.
But I've had the Oxford jab, and I'm due my second one on May 22nd.
Yeah, I've had my second one.
Which one did you have?
Zeneca.
AstraZeneca. And, you know, even that has been divisive. Because you have certain people say, oh, I want the Oxford one because that's a better one. I'm like...
Yeah, you got the Pfizer one.
Pfizer one, you got the Moderna.
And you got the AstraZeneca.
Yeah, and you've also got this one that Russia's made. Because apparently Russia don't trust anyone else but them.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be the best, supposedly.
Yeah, but, you know, when I had my first jab, I was fine, I was tired, and I was sleepy. And I was sleeping, like, you know, quite a bit, but then the next day I was fine. But whenever I listen to the news, not that I do that often, because I don't want to get myself even more flipping stressed or down, but when I do, and it's about COVID-19, blood clots. Well, first of all, blood clots are rare, and the blood clot is not down. It's not down to the vaccination. It's one of those things, you know. A blood clot is rare, right? And then obviously you have the black community being obviously cautious of the vaccination, you know, obviously, because they've had past history, you know, so they're a little more cautious. But then you've had people not turn up for vaccinations, which means that's going to waste. And it's like, it doesn't matter which vaccine you're offered. If you're offered the Oxford one, then take it. If you're offered the Moderna, take it. It's not about, you can't be in a position where, oh, I'll have the Oxford, because that's the best one. They all do the same job. This is what I don't understand. It's not a pick and mix. You know,
I remember that Woolworths.
Yeah, it's not like a pick and mix where you go into your local shop, fill your little bag up, or two, buy for like 50p or whatever, however much it cost back in the day.
Have a cocktail of them all.
Yeah.
I'll have the Oxford and have the Medina, please.
Yeah.
What about the visor? What about the visor jab? Yeah, I'll take that as well. I'll have a triple.
Yeah.
Go on. Like, get smashed on the vaccinations. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not like, you know, you can't pick and choose. Like, whatever's offered to you, that's the only one that's offered to you. But they're not going to offer you the Oxford, and then 5 minutes or 5 minutes later, they're going to offer you the Moderna. Doesn't work like that, you know. And for those people who are still unsure about the vaccines, which is totally understandable, you know, everybody has their own, you know, I don't want to say issues, but they have concerns with the effectiveness of the vaccines. I totally get that. But at the same time, you've got to think, right, if I don't have the vaccine, then I'm not protected, or my immune system isn't boosted to fight off the infection. And a lot of people say, oh, no, a lot of these anti-vaxxers who believe they won't get it, you know, unfortunately, you know, you can't change those people's minds. You know, they're going to believe what they believe. They're going to think it's a conspiracy. You know, they're going to think that, oh, there's something more to the vaccine than just what's in it. Well, and they think, and you know, there was a mass... Conspiracy theorists, you know, and obviously, yes, there were a bit of... There were some kind of confusion in the beginning, because obviously the Chinese government weren't like truthful with the Wuhan incident, so that made a few people a bit questionable. Like, hang on a minute, is it from China or isn't it? Is it man-made or did it come from the bat?
We never know.
But the thing is, some people say it's man-made, but it, possible.
But if it is man-made, it's still here.
Exactly.
This is the thing, right? This is the thing. If it's artificial, if it's natural,
yeah,
who cares, right? Okay, yeah. If it's artificial and China is at fault, right? Then we have a lot to be concerned about, because the fact that they have the capability to unleash such a terror on this yeah, planet. But it's still here. Whether it's natural or not, whether it's natural or not, it's still here. It's still here, and we've still got to live with it for years, right? It's how I perceive the future, right? I'm not going to university now, as you know.
Yeah.
I was, but now I changed my mind. Students, especially in accommodation, the pressures and everything else, being locked in, when you're that age, you want to be doing stuff. They cannot do stuff because, well, I mean, we're slowly opening up now, but
yeah,
the thing is, they were treated quite badly because they were locked in the accommodation, locked in, and all of a sudden, you know, that's for mental health, that's going to be a huge drastic change on your mindset. And when you've got all this work to do as well, your career could depend on it. So a lot of people have had difficulty. I mean, I've had difficulty. My routine, I used to love going into a cafe and doing my writing. I used to enjoy having days off work and then going into town and doing some writing here and there and socialising with you guys, you know, my friends. I can't... That changed. And then obviously I was going to college at the time and I had to do work at home and I couldn't go anywhere. That changed me.
Yeah.
And that put me in a huge bout of depression, which I'm still recovering from. I'm trying my best to recover, but I have a lot of suicidal ideations. I have a lot of anxiety issues. I have a lot of depressing issues. I have a lot of everything. And that's the thing, you know, it's changed a lot of people's mindsets. And I just hope that, and when you talk about these politicians, I mean, this is what gets my back up, you see. These politicians and, you know, the presidents and stuff, they talk about how they feel, what we're feeling. You've got a spider on your hood.
Stupid little thing.
Right, sorry guys.
That's right.
You had these politicians saying that we understand and stuff. Yeah, okay, you may say that you understand, but do you really? You're in these offices and you're surrounded by people, maybe. You're surrounded by a few people, but people that live alone and the people that suffer from mental health massively. Do you really? No, you don't understand, because
exactly.
You're okay.
Yeah.
You're okay, you have family at home, and you won't lose your job because you're a civil servant. You're in the public service. Your jobs are needed more than a hairdresser. Your jobs are needed more than a gardener. Your jobs are needed more than a man who sells ice cream. But that's their job.
Yeah.
Your job won't go because you're not self-employed. They are.
Yeah.
And they're the people that... can you really truly understand?
No.
No, you can't. Are their mental health screwed because they've lost their jobs or lost their business? And then the trickle effect, the domino effect. You lose your job and you might lose your family or your wife. You lose or your husband. You lose your wife or your husband. You might have kids. Then your kids are going to be struggling because of the fact that their parents are separated. And then all of a sudden more family members get involved because of what's happening to you guys. Huge implosion within the family. Do you really understand that? No, they don't. Because their job is secure, because they are public service, and public service jobs are morally needed than the people that are in the private sector and people that are self-employed. Like a bus driver will never be out of a job because he works for the Nottingham City Council or the Nottinghamshire Councils. His job will always be safe unless he does something to jeopardise that.
Yeah.
A politician may say they understand, but they don't. And that's the thing. Many people's lives have changed because of this. Many people's lives have changed because of this pandemic. Especially the elderly people.
Yeah.
You know, they can't have people around. They're alone in the house. They might have lost their husband or wife many years before. And all of a sudden, this pandemic hits. Boom. And they're alone. Yeah. They can't have their grandkids around, or great-grandkids around.
And even, you know, doctors and nurses have to isolate from their family because obviously they work in NHS.
Yep.
So it's tough on them as well because they're not seeing their kids or husband.
Yep.
Or wife. And, you know, there's also been an increase in teens...
Get down.
...getting in contact with the Trevor Project, which is an LGBTQ service for teens who are members of, obviously, the LGBTs. And, you know, the suicide rates have increased in that population as well, among young teens, you know. So, whilst politicians can be sympathetic and they can, you know, say... You know, they can always say, oh, we feel sorry for you, you know, we understand. Yet they may understand, but they don't truly understand to the point where...
No, they don't.
You know,
they don't understand.
They're actually making whatever has been drawn up even worse. And, you know, and it's quite and it's sad, really, because as we are seeing, you know... As with anything, you know, politicians can only do what they are told to do. You know, these politicians don't actually run Westminster. Right, they are told what to do by their seniors. Right, and unfortunately,
you know, it's hard for politicians to do their job because there's money involved. And sometimes, you know, and a lot of the times, not always, but a lot, but, you know, some of these politicians who are, say, for instance, the health secretary or the head of nutrition, none of these politicians have degrees in that area. Do you have a politician who's the health inspector, the health administrator, whatever, but he doesn't have a degree, but he doesn't have a degree in health, and that's what makes it worse, because you're employing a politician in an area where he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about, and you get, and that's why that's you get a lot of people lambasting because they're like, "Hang on a minute."
Well, this is the thing you see about democracy, about democratic societies, like capitalist countries, the non-dictatorship nations. Anybody, now, I am not saying this is wrong because I do not want to be in a dictatorship. No chance, obviously.
No, no one does.
I don't want to be that. I don't want to be in a country like North Korea because, obviously, you know, Kim Jong-un is the son of the former leader.
Yeah.
The leadership is passed down generation to generation. That's how that nation works. South Korea are, in fact, a capitalist country because they are allies with the US. Therefore, they are a democratic country. So, but here's the deal. Here's the issue with democratic states and nations, obviously. You can be anybody. If you have the capital, if you have the high level popularity, if you're famous, if you are an actor, like an A-list actor, or a conglomerate, a corporate big head, we know one of them, you can become president.
Yeah.
The Ukrainian president is an actor, was an actor. If you have a public, if you have an ocean of admirers who look up to you, and they see you as somebody goes, "Oh, this guy could probably lead that nation." All of a sudden, wow, you know, the guy's going for office. You could put your name forward, and then you'll go up the rankings or however it works. You attend the campaign trail, and then you speak. You tell them what you want to do and how you're going to do it and the path you're going to take. People get on board, and all of a sudden, your point, your score, and the people that are voting, your popularity, people, your traction goes up.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this is looking quite realistic. I might have a chance here. Then all of a sudden, you're in the majors. You're on television. You're being broadcasted around the world. You're going head to head. That's a big crow. That is a big crow. Look at that crow.
What the hell?
There, it's there. There. Yeah, that's a big crow. Sorry, guys, but we're in Woollerton Park at the moment, which is in Nottingham, and a huge crow that looks like a powerlifter. I think he's training for the Olympics. He's training for something. Look at the size of him or her, whatever they are. Yeah. Anyway, back to the subject of matter. It's a big crow. Not as big as that one we saw years ago.
Oh yeah,
that was huge. So, you know, that's the issue with democratic countries, because anyone could get into office if you've got a huge traction about you. You'll attend these debates. All of a sudden you'll go head to head against these potential leaders who have either got more experience than you, or they're billionaires who just thought, "I'd do this," or they've come from the same path as you, or whatever. You're like, "Yeah, I'm here now. Let's do this." Then all of a sudden you win.
Yeah,
right. That's the thing. That's why it's called Land of the Free.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, you see.
But it's not really the land of the free. It's only the land of the free if you abide by it.
Yeah, exactly. But
if you go against it, then...
Yeah, well, then the law's going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Which is fair. You know, if you be a dick, they're going to be a dick to you. Simple as that. Don't be a dick then, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, The Rock. There's a big thing going off about The Rock at the moment. Will he or won't he go for office?
He recently did a post on Instagram saying he would want the president if you wanted it. So if you wanted him to run for the next president, then he will. But only if people want it.
Well, of course people want it. It's the people's champion. Saying,
but, you know, my thing is, right...
He's in his 50s now?
He's 48. He's not 50. I thought he was, but he's not. He's 48. 48. Nearly 49.
Yeah, so he's 49 years old. Quite the good age.
And Joe Biden is 78.
Yeah.
But the same thing happened with Abraham Lincoln. He didn't do everything he set out to do. And he wasn't as clean cut as everyone makes out. Nice. Look, I don't remember all the names, but when they signed in the Declaration of Independence Day.
Right? Declaration of Independence.
Declaration of Independence back in 1890 or something. I don't know. They only did that because they all agreed on what would benefit them. This is the thing. When people sign, when you have a large group of people signing things, it's not in our best interests, it's in theirs. Look at the Illuminati, for instance.
Are we going to get into that?
No, but I'm just making an example. People in power.
Yeah.
Like, they make the rules.
Yeah.
You know, if you abide by them,
if you
can live in their country.
If you look at the meaning of the Illuminati, the people that control the world behind
the
scenes.
Yeah, the all-seeing eye, reference.
It's real, because there is an all-seeing eye. The law.
Yeah.
That's the judges, the executioners, they're the all-seeing eye. The Congress of this world, the House of Lords of this world, they're the all-seeing eye. If they're the leaders of this world, they're the ones that work to, well, supposedly, Crow is so big, man. Just look, don't look at me. He's walking.
I think this crow has been taking too much weight gain.
Look at the size of that.
Or he'd be feeding on something.
Don't.
Yeah, away.
I thought I was going to fly.
I'll leg it.
It's gone on that tree. It's after another crow.
Yeah, probably mating season. I don't know. I don't know crow law.
I'm sure that just had a shit.
Probably.
Something just came out. Anyway. Well, I mean, that's... yeah, it's... That's the way the world is. That's the all-seeing eye, you know?
Yeah.
And the people that control things, and the people that control things, not all of them get along.
No.
Not all of them get along because they're people. People, and the people with egos.
Yeah.
If you're going to go for a huge job, right, a massive job, you work your way up the educational system. You work your way up any system. I'm on Medium. You have the big writers on there, the number one writers that make a living from writing on Medium. Egos grow. One day I want to become a top writer on there.
Yeah.
But, and look, I'll admit it, if I became a top writer on Medium and I started getting paid decent money for it, my ego will grow slightly. And that's the thing.
You can comfortably support yourself.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's a decent amount.
Yeah. So that's.
But it's about. But the thing with like what you mentioned about egos. Yeah.
Egos grow naturally.
Egos grow. It's all right. It's okay to have an ego, to some extent. But there's a, but with ego and with anything in life, there's a balance. You don't want to be too egotistical.
Well, there has to be an it's equilibrium. Yeah. That's what it is. It has to be equal. Things have to be equal. There has to be a fine balance, right?
Yeah.
It's like work and leisure. You know, this is my leisure. Beautiful walks, relaxing walks. You get home, you've had a good exercise. Yes, great day out, not stuck in. Enjoy the day, right?
Yeah.
We've enjoyed the day, right? Work, there's competition at work. That's where ego gets involved. You get these big corporate roles, right? People that are in corporate, mainly office jobs.
Yeah.
Right? You got different floors, different people, blah, 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 blah. And then you got the head. Ego.
Yeah.
Yeah? You want to work your way up. Ego is confidence, right? In a way, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's say that ego is a tank and the confidence is the water. You got to have a shitload of water to fill that tank to work your way up. That takes some extraordinary confidence. Extraordinary or unique individual to work their way up and become a leader. That's what magnificent beings do. To become a leader, you have to have that finesse and that capability to lead a crowd.
Yeah.
Donald Trump had that. Don't say that, because he did.
Yeah, he did.
You know he did.
But he didn't use it the right way.
But he had it.
But he had it, yeah.
He knows it and he used it. Barack Obama.
Yeah.
He had it, he used it. 2 terms in office, 8 years, bang, gone. Still an influence because it's Barack Obama. I want to read his biography, right?
Clinton. It's until he mistake.
Bill Clinton?
Yeah.
Yeah, until he did that thing. Yeah. And we know what thing it was. Yeah. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yeah.
You know, that was obvious.
Yeah.
Right?
But,
big deal, right? Hillary Clinton forgave him.
Yeah.
Right? You have to have a uniqueness about it.
Exactly, like.
But with leisure and work, there's to be a balance. I don't know what Barack Obama does on his free time. We'll never know what he does in his free time. We'll never get to see it.
Well, because he's now a private citizen.
Yeah,
so.
Why would he want to speak to people like us?
Exactly. So,
who are you guys?
He'd probably say, what the fuck am I doing with you two?
Yeah, in his head.
All right.
He'll act all nice, but when he goes back home to see Michelle and his kids, where are you? Just talking to some weird folk. I don't know who they were. They're from some small town in Nottingham. Baseford, was it? I don't know where they're from. Anyway, they live in the working class. So
it's like, if you look across, it's like, we won't keep it too long, but if you think about it, if you look across history, and I can name 2 people off the top of my head that had an ego, but they did it the right way, as in MLK.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Martin Luther King. You had Rosa Parks, who stood up because of the, you know, those times where, you know, it was illegal for black women to sit on the right or left side.
Black people. They had to sit at the back of the bus. And she sat.
And so, you know, Rosa Parks, along with MLK, you know.
Martin Luther King.
They made a difference. You know, but they still kept grounded.
Malcolm X.
But they still kept grounded.
Even though his ideology was a huge difference between him and Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Maya Angelou is another one.
Yeah, Dr. Maya Angelou, yeah.
She was another...
She was a poet.
Essayist. She author. Man, she...
She did everything.
She was incredible.
She lived a life.
She did. She was also a teacher. You know, she had a huge... She was a huge deal.
And Malcolm X influenced Muhammad Ali.
Yep, to become a Muslim.
And they learned things off each other.
You know, Angelo knew both of them.
Yeah.
And she was also the right-hand woman to Martin Luther King.
Exactly. And these people could have had massive egos to the point where they were pissing everyone off.
How they used it.
But it's how they used it. They were still grounded. Martin Luther King was a very religious man. Right, so he stayed grounded with his religion and his faith. Right, but he knew the popularity. He knew that he was making a difference, but he didn't let it go to his head.
Well, Martin Luther King?
Yeah. He didn't let his ego overturn him. He kept grounded.
Yeah, he still did what he told him. Yeah. But, you know, it's...
You know, same with the same with Kennedy, who unfortunately got assassinated. Right, he could have had an ego, but he was a man of the people. He already had, a bit like Donald Trump, but he already had money. Right, but he wasn't doing it for the money. He was doing it because he wanted people, black people, most of all, to have equality.
Who wanted equality?
Kennedy. The president who got assassinated.
Yeah.
Right, and you know, when you look throughout history, right, you find these people who, you know, most of them aren't in the public eye because they, right, you don't hear of them because being in the public eye doesn't always mean that you're gonna, you know, get the most impact. Sometimes it's helpful to be behind the scenes, so to speak, right, and do it that way, which sometimes can be effective. But what Rosa Parks, and Martin Luther King, Malcolm X did, is they challenged. They challenged those people who tried to, you know, dissect them, try to disband them. And Martin Luther King's daughter, still to this day, is continuing what her father did, you know, because he built a legacy. Mm. And it's important to have these figures in history to look back at, especially for the black community, because they're the ones at most risk of being of societal pressure, right? So it's important.
Well, they're also at risk, right? This is the thing about being at risk. This is the thing about things coming back. Racism, it might not be as large as it used to be, especially in the 40s and the 50s, and obviously early on than that. And obviously in the 60s, when Martin Luther King was doing his thing.
Yeah.
You know. There'll always be, it's like volcanic lava and the tectonic plates, you know. It's like, it's always simmering.
Yeah.
Always waiting to show its ugly head. And it does show its ugly head all the time, yeah. Right? But it's waiting. It's the fire of hate. It's waiting all the time. You know, the racist people are everywhere. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
But we don't know they are racist.
Exactly.
Because they haven't said anything until they feel the need that it's needed.
Yeah.
So, I'm mixed race, as you know.
Yeah.
I have been insulted an enormous amount of times, and they said it was a joke, or I'm having a laugh, mate. Come on, man. I'm having a laugh. You know, stop it. Come on, stop being mardy. Stop being sensitive. You called me, right? And if people get offended by this word, I apologise, right? And for the people that think that only black people can say this word, right? Then, and you're getting offended by it, whatever you're thinking, it's your opinion. But I was called a nigger many times. And again, if you get offended by that, I apologise. But I was called that many. So,
can you quickly call it? Sorry about that.
Right, okay, sorry about that. You'll only edit it, won't you? So it's, I was caught that many times, and yeah, look, I understand, I really do. You think it's a joke. You think it's you are able to say that word, but the hurt, the anger I felt from that was massive.
Yeah,
I didn't want to be called. But I mean, I was called that many times in school. I was labelled many things in school. I was labelled many things in my late teens and early 20s. People think that it was a joke, and they kept saying it until I finally said, look, can you just shut the hell up? I don't want to hear that anymore. Yeah, I did find it funny to start with because I knew you, but now you're just really, really, really going above and beyond, and it's not needed now. When I said that, that's when there was like, oh, come on, man, just stop being a, you know, sports ball or something, you know. And I'm thinking, you have no idea how it feels. I'm mixed race. I'm not black. I'm not white. I'm mixed. This is the thing, right? That's my identity. Now, we talk about identity all the time. There's many mixed ethnic backgrounds, right? Chinese American, Japanese American, Indian American.
Yeah. I'm mixed.
British American. You're mixed, yeah. Irish American, Irish Japanese, Russian British. Right?
Thank God for that.
But I'm not fully black, but they mistaken me. And when I said to them, I was at work, it's like, oh, God, you know, you're black. It's like, no, I'm not. I'm mixed race. Yeah, black. I'm not black. I'm mixed race. Look, why are you finding it so difficult to realise that I know my own ethnicity?
Yeah.
I am mixed race, meaning I am mixed race, meaning that is my ethnicity.
Yeah.
Right? There's black, there's white. But it doesn't stop there. It's black African, black British, black American, black Australian, or there's white Australian, white British, white American.
Yeah.
White African, look, white South African. There's loads. But
you also have intermix. Like, you have some Latinas or Latinos who have bad cultural parents. Like, some can be Mexican.
Yeah. And you have a white mom. Yeah, yeah, but that means that the child will be mixed race.
Yeah. But there's only different very, you know, but to mistake, this is the thing, right? And, you know, we've known each other for, like, 18...
Nearly 18 years.
Nearly 18 years, right? And throughout that whole 18 years, right, I have never ever said a racist word or said anything racist at all. And this is the God's honest truth.
And I thank
because
you for
if that. I ever did, we wouldn't be friends.
No. That's just.
Well, wrong. No, but I'm not saying.
I will never. Right, listen. I will never, ever, ever. Right. Depending how you say it.
Yeah.
Are you saying it as a joke or are you saying it for serious?
Well, let's say for example, I was saying it serious.
Yeah.
Then.
And you think I'll fall out with you for that?
Then I'm not. No, I'm just saying like in general. If I was overly racist.
Yeah.
To the point where it's. To where you were getting annoyed.
Yeah. Right? If okay.
Then we wouldn't be friends because you'd be like, hang on a minute.
I don't think I'd not be friends just like that. I would let's see where it goes.
Yeah.
And if you keep doing what you're doing, then I'll make that decision.
Yeah.
And go, okay, this guy is not really changing his the way he perceives me. So therefore, I don't want anything to do with him. But you know, thankfully that I never had to make that decision.
Yeah.
So,
and for context, I grew up in a place called Edgbaston in Birmingham, UK, where it was predominantly black people, Muslims. It was cultural, right? But it was predominantly black. Right. So I grew up in that area.
And yes, sometimes if you're brought up in that area, and you know, sometimes you can get people who are raised to turn out to be racists. But I'm not one of them, right? So, and like I said, I've never said a racist word in my life, and I wouldn't, because I think before I speak. And you know, when I first met you, I was like, and I looked and I saw you, I was like, I didn't automatically think, oh, he's black. No. What's that got to do with me? Honestly, what's that got to do with me?
Of course.
You're a person. I get to know you because you're a person.
I'm an entity.
Not because of the colour of your skin. Right, and I don't see colour. Now, I know that could be offensive, right, to especially black people when they hear people say, I don't see colour. But what I mean by that is you don't see
skin colour.
Yeah, I don't see skin colour.
You see a person.
Yeah.
You see an entity.
And that's
you
what
see somebody that has the potential to be a really good person.
Yeah. That's what I mean by I don't see colour.
Yeah, I'm sure they get it now.
Unfortunately, some don't get it. That's not my problem.
It's not your issue. But the listeners, if you don't get it, then you don't get it. You know, that's your issue. That's your concern. You know.
I would love to see the word, you know, what you said, I'm not going to say. I would like to see that not used. Now, if black people use that amongst themselves, then they have a right to, because they're good, right? It was said by a black person. Right, if that's how you greet each other, right, that's fine. Right? But the thing that I don't understand is that you now get these white dudes, right, you think it's funny. Right, and I've heard them say to another white dude, like, what's up my that buddy said.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you have no right in saying that. You don't have that right. Let me just say something here. That's just my opinion.
Right. I don't think, if you're not black, right, the ownership of that word does not belong to you, right? But here's the thing. It doesn't belong to anybody.
Exactly, and it's something said anyway.
It doesn't. I hate that word altogether. That word was created by white people because
exactly.
Nigger meant slaves. Meant slave.
And
it meant slave.
That.
And you are repeating that in music, in material that is broadcasted.
Right. Yeah.
If it's factual, if it's for learning context, like a TV show or film.
Yeah.
And they're coming across as that person that is providing that information bad. This is how you shouldn't be, right? I get it. Factual learning capabilities to younger folk, to children, to people that are still stuck in that notion of thinking that it's okay to still be racist. I get it. If it's for that, I get it, right? But when it comes down to more influences, like music, for example, right? You're putting that into your brain because you're listening to it.
Yeah.
And you've got all ages that listen to it because you can download music now.
Yeah.
So therefore, anyone can listen to that music. I've heard people spurting out their songs loudly as they walk past me, and I hear machine guns and the word nigger being repeated constantly, saying that, and then stab them. And then look at this, constantly. Stab, shotgun. Machine gun sounds. You think, what is that initiating? There's ways in communicating things, and if you're going to be mentioning that word, it's just wrong in that context.
Yeah,
it's wrong. So, but if you want about ownership, the word that doesn't belong to anybody because it should not be used. Right, I don't think that word should be spouted by anybody.
No.
in a certain way, because somebody else will hear it. And if that somebody else will hear it, they'll think it's okay because that certain somebody has said it. It's a tidal wave, or it's a bombardment of people constantly thinking, oh, it's he can say it or she can say it, then I can say it. And that person will say it, and then the person that listened to them will go, okay, if it's okay for he or she to say that, I can say it. It's never going to go away if people are going to keep saying it. But here's the dilemma. It will always be said, because the right way to use the word, if there is a right way, is for learning.
Yeah.
Because it will be teaching people that it's not a good word to say. That's how I see it. The word will never go away. Because if it's for good reasons for saying it, if you're watching something on TV, or if you listen to a podcast that is for teaching capabilities, or if it's any broadcast, right? And it's for learning, and the person who is listening to it doesn't have the right intentions, is listening to it for the wrong reasons, I don't know. If they can say it, fuck it, I'll say it.
Yeah.
I don't care. Hey, come here, nigga. He's like,
yeah.
I've just listened to this podcast. They've just said it, I can say it too. You can't win. You cannot win.
No.
Because it will always be around. But if you talk about ownership, I believe that nobody owns that word because it was created by white people for black people. Therefore, black people should not use it because of the fact that it was used wrongly to black people, right?
Yeah.
And white people shouldn't use it because it was used by white people hundreds of years ago, and even in the 1930s, obviously, and beyond that, Martin Luther King was around, it still is used. They shouldn't use it because the white race created it in those days because it was enslavement to the black people that they owned. So black people shouldn't use it because it means slave, and white people shouldn't use it because still it means slave. Black people shouldn't use it because it was a label because it meant they are slaves to the white folk, and white people shouldn't use it because the white folk enslaved the black people.
Yeah.
There's no ownership.
No.
There shouldn't be ownership of that word, because that word is treacherous, it's poison.
Exactly, and you're perpetuating a cycle that doesn't need to be done.
You're continuing on that trail, right? That was used by multiple other people that used that word.
Who had no right.
Who killed black people.
Yeah.
So, what do you do? You can't get rid of it because you need it to teach people that it's wrong. And the only way you can teach people that is wrong is to actually speak of the word.
Yeah.
Whether if it's written or spoken. And when you do write it, people are going to speak it.
Exactly.
You write it in the textbooks, people are going to speak it. And then it's in their subconscious.
Yeah.
And they're going to say it. You cannot win. But as long as you teach that it's wrong, that's the good way to go about it.
Yeah.
That's my 2 cents.
Yeah. And on that note, I think we're going to leave it there. I'd like to thank Aidan for, well, I don't know what I'm thanking him for because I'm with him, but
beautiful day out.
I good chat, this is the kind of thing, so we maybe don't discuss these type of things, but we do have discussions.
And, yeah, we have good discussions, yeah.
You know, it's good to say. So yeah, hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
What are you going to call this podcast? Because it was... There was a lot of subjects.
I don't know. I'll have a think as we're walking back. But anyway, I'll leave it there.
Before we go, can I just read out one of my poems?
Yeah. Here's a poem for you.
Right, guy. It's from a selection that I've done. It's called Random Rambles, and I've recently finished my 38th. I think I'm going to read out the 36th. Or shall I read out the second? Shall I read out the second one? No, read out the 36th. So it's Random Rambles 36. The whispering wind finds our hearts. It leaps and lounds and frowns and barks. beckoning fodder in skies and cuts, let loose our masters in scars and blood. We find ourselves in aging grim, we teach and build in ritual sin. Behind our fallen kings find knots, we gather pace and butcher and blot. Smile and speak on a stage of gold, do nothing but damage a senate ensouled. Corrupt governance throwing presence and hope, toxic voices shaped by ties and dosh. Functioning mortals in paper buys, no rest for the non-normals in normal guides. In a world in slowly darkening skies, let's play our music and wait, we wait. Oh, we wait to write and die. As my random rambles 36, I should have put a disclaimer on there warning you how confusing it is, but
yeah,
it's just it's called random rambles because there's no actual direction, but when I get writing them, it's just it's a constant wordplay really, but I think there's a story in there somewhere.
Yeah,
a theme, I guess. Anyway, if you enjoyed it, you enjoy it.
Yeah,
so anyway, that was my random rambles.
Yeah, so yeah, as I was saying, like, you know, I hope you have an amazing day, enjoying the weather, wherever you are. If you're lucky enough to have some sunshine.
If you're in Iceland.
If you're in Iceland, then.
Or in North Canada.
Yeah.
Or even in Canada itself.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's beautiful wherever you are.
Yeah, stay social distancing, salt the earth. Stay social distancing. Maintain the precautions.
That doesn't mean that you have to buy a cabin in the middle of nowhere and
no, don't do that.
Shoot anyone who comes near you.
But or maybe do if they annoy you.
No, don't promote that stuff.
No, no violence.
No, please. No, we have enough of that as it is.
But yeah, thank you for
stay peaceful.
Yeah, be peaceful, yeah. Peaceful protest. or maybe not. But anyway.
Well yeah, if you're protesting, be peaceful.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I will see you in the next episode. Bye, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Our current episode and other episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, Acast, Anchor, Spox, Breaker, and, of course, Anchor.